Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
You're listening to the Kitchen Garden Magazine podcast, your fortnightly fix of gardening features, advice and chat. Subscribe and follow us now to never miss an episode.
So hi folks, and welcome to the latest Kitchen Garden podcast. I'm Kitchen Garden Editor Steve Ott, and today I'm delighted to be chatting to Millie Fife, who I've had to write all this down because she's a very busy lady. She's a keen gardener, garden writer, farmer, mum of two, home cook, food campaigner, award-winning digital marketing expert, Instagrammer and blogger, and as well as the owner of the website No Fuss Meals for Busy Parents, which we'll chat about as we're going along. So hi, Millie. I mean, you're such a busy person. Thanks for your time. I don't know how you've got time to chat to me. It's mind-boggling.
No, thank you so much for having me on, Steve. I mean, you've probably seen from a lot of my social posts, I'm obviously a very keen kitchen gardener and, very, 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 very happy to chat to you and your listeners this morning.
Well, thank you. Well, we've got a lot of ground to cover and there's so many, you cover so much ground with the things that you do, it's hard to know where to start. But we'll start at the very beginning. How did you get in? We'll start with something simple. How did you get into gardening? Were you part of a gardening family or?
Yeah, so my dad is a very keen gardener and actually my grandfather is. And also, my maiden name is Wasty, and actually Wasty apples are quite infamous in the RHS world. My great-great-great-grandfather bred different apple varieties, such as Encham Dumpling, Oxford Beauty, Jennifer Wasty, Peggy Wasty, Old Fred. There's lots of different varieties. There's that kind of heritage. But actually, it was my dad that got me involved in gardening. He has quite a large garden at home. And some of my first memories were standing on a stool in the greenhouse, pricking out lettuce seedlings and potting them up. And also, when one of my fondest memories is so when we used to go on holiday in the summer, and then we'd all be so excited to go back home after a week and find out what had changed in the garden. And it'd be things like sweet corn, that memory of going down the garden and seeing, like, you know, you go away and you come back and they've grown loads and the cobs have formed and then being able to obviously just go and scavenge and pick various things and just eat them there and then, which is one of life's simple luxuries, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I think it's how a lot of us get into gardening, isn't it? We've got a parent who stayed keen. It was my dad for me as well, so... Yeah, he was into growing his croissants and his vegetables and things, and it just rubs off, doesn't it? Glad to say my daughter is got her own allotment a couple of weeks ago, so I'm quite proud of that.
I'm sure you are. Yeah.
When she was young, I would never have believed it, but now she's got to 30, she's dead keen.
She's got the bug. She's got the bug, and that's it. Absolutely. Well, my two children are now very involved in the growing. And that's really how No Fuss Meals for Busy Parents came about, because like everyone during the pandemic, we were obviously confined to our own barracks, as it were. We're fortunate that we've got quite a large kitchen garden here on the farm. And My children at the time were only 1 and 2, so very young. But they had a go. You know, I'd dig a potato trench and they'd just chuck some potatoes in, and then I'd throw them out and be my kind of perfectionist self. But, you know, you'd get a tray and sprinkle some salad leaf seed and things like that. And the look of wonder when actually then you go down and you go and pull up some carrots or go and pick some broad beans and shell them, and then they just eat. And also the wildlife that you find yourself immersed around when you're kitchen gardening, isn't it? I mean, just as simple as the things like earthworms, slugs, the Bobby Robin that comes to say hello, you know, all of those sorts of things that probably... as gardeners we probably take for granted sometimes, but actually from a young age, you know, they've been really involved in kitchen gardening, and also making lots of mud pies and a mess as well, which were young, and they're both boys as well, so
it's got to be fun at the same time, but really educational too, isn't it? I mean, it's amazing what you can learn. As you say, you're in touch with nature as well as the veg, and then you've got the eating side of it. I mean, do you find that they're happier to try a bigger range of food, perhaps, having
because they're invested in the whole process, they're quite proud of being able to go down the garden, pick some beans, come in and start eating them. And actually last year in our polytunnel grew that many cucumbers, but none of them ever came in the house because they just go and scrump them. That was their garden snack. Out of 10 plants, we got over 100 cucumbers, and they were, you know, it was just, for me, it's so rewarding to know that what I'm doing, you know, they're quite happily just go and munch on a cucumber, and it reminds me of like the BFG with the snozcumbers and the giants kind of jumping at them. That's exactly what they were doing, and actually they're now asking, "Mummy, when are we going to get the cucumbers growing? When are we going to get the tomatoes?"
Great,
you know, so so they're now 5 and 6, and they're involved not only here, but I involve our village primary school as well. I'm now a local Grow Cook Eat
ambassador. I was going to ask you about that. Yeah, you're taking it a step further now, and
Well, there's that. So engaging the local community in the whole sort of Grow Cook Eat, but also I'm just going to put a grant application in to convert a room, a barn, I should say, on the farm into a kitchen workshop. So I'm able to offer immersive kind of Grow Cook Eat type workshops, so people can come. It'll be like corporate wellbeing days, but also for community groups as well, where they're able to come, go down the garden, dig up some potatoes, or go and collect the eggs from the chickens, and then come into the
chickens
kitchen.
As well, of course.
We've got pigs, chickens, cattle, sheep. We've got quite a lot going on. So it will be a very immersive experience. So I'm just trying to get all my ducks in a row, literally, to make that happen.
But that be for adults and children, or?
It's mainly, I mean, it's going to be mainly for adults, because the whole premise of No Fuss Meals for Busy Parents is providing a connection between food grown in the UK and how to make tasty meals from scratch. And one of the things I think we recognise is that a lot of people have a lack of understanding or have forgotten about seasonality, because produce is available in the supermarket all year round and obviously shipped from all corners of the globe. But actually sort of bringing it back to basics and cooking from scratch, because again, the world has got so fast paced, and the way that most people will access food is actually on their phone and placing orders online. So the kind of it's quite a far distance from the farmer growers to actually the end consumers. And so I'm not only trying to sort of help bridge that gap, but also to provide those immersive experiences. And yes, to start off with, it will be mainly for adults, but that's not to say I might do a holiday club. I haven't kind of flushed out really all the different courses that I could, because there's so much potential. I just want to get the facility built, and then because the amount of people that are asking and wanting to come, and working with some other educators as well, because like you said in your introductions, I've got quite a lot going on myself.
Yes.
And you know, I want to be able to create some jobs as well for other people to help me to, you know, share my vision, really. So it's exciting.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very exciting. I'm excited. I can't wait to see it. Actually, no, in the flesh, as it were. But yeah, so you really are forming an important link. We've sort of mentioned that, you know, you're working with schools and educating children about where their food comes from and everything. But you're also a great advocate, obviously, as a farmer, of course, for British agriculture and British growers. And I'm sure there must be a lot more that could be done to promote British food. I mean, you're obviously, you know, doing your bit.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's it. One of the things I get a little bit kind of downhearted about, we're all trying to fly the flag, but I think sometimes we're very good at talking to one another, but not talking outwardly. And so through the use of social media and with my website and getting out and about and being proactive, and also writing in our local newspapers, is just trying to, yeah, just to signpost or just share what we're doing on our farm, so that more people are aware, or if they've got an interest, that they can find out more information. And I, again, support a lot of food and farming campaigns, whether that's Great British Beef Week, Love Lamb Week, but also like the sort of agricultural leadership type campaigns as well. And it's just, right, you know, inspiring, not only inspiring people to think about where they buy their food from and how it gets to their table, but also about the career opportunities as well in agriculture.
Yes.
Because it's not necessarily perceived as an academic route, but actually you have to be quite dynamic, and there's a lot of versatility. There's a lot of different skills and opportunities, and with technology and science and veterinary and research, and even just being able to drive one of the tractors today, you know, there's all these onboard computers and satellite navigation and all of that. And it's quite high tech and advanced. And so, you know, when someone say that they're a farm labourer or a farm worker, they're actually got a very wide ranging skill set. And it's not just pushing a yard broom around, or, you know, heaving sacks of corn or heaving bales and things anymore. It's very mechanized and very data driven as well, so very, very technical and inspiring. Well, very interesting. I suppose one of the most rewarding things for me is watching or bringing new life into the world. So we're lambing at the moment. We've just started our lambing season. Yeah, so we've got 280 ewes that we're lambing at the moment, and obviously some of them will just, you know, it's like we've got a labour ward, so they're all in their pens and everything, and often we don't need to assist, but when we do, we give them a helping hand as well. And now again, the children are at the age where they want to get more involved, and actually, our eldest came home with a big drawing the other day saying, "Mummy, I want to be a farmer." And our heart just burst with pride.
Jeez,
so,
yes.
Oh, that's so lovely. So, yeah.
Oh, super. Yeah. I mean, as someone who sort of, I struggled to get into horticulture because I lived in London at the time, and, you know, just leaving school, you couldn't get grants to go into horticulture or anything because just didn't exist in my local area, so it's quite a struggle. But yeah, I'd love to see more people getting into the, I say, agriculture and horticulture as well. You know, growing veg commercially,
that'd
be amazing. And it is a great career.
Well, I mean, you know, there's some massive businesses, especially in the sort of Lincolnshire or East Anglia region, for example, that are focused on vegetable crops, and it's kind of like the breadbasket of England, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah.
In terms of the wheat and the salad crops and the potatoes and the carrots and things like that, it's fascinating. It's really interesting to go. I mean, last year I went and sat on a pea harvester for the day, and that was fascinating because obviously I grow peas in my own garden on a small scale. And obviously, you know, the challenges of growing peas anyway with pest management and, you know, just try, you know, and also trying to stop the children from eating them all before you get them in. So maybe that's part of my pest management control. I don't know. You know, on a kind of industrial scale with growing and harvesting peas and getting them to the factory, because you've only got a short window from harvest to freezing them before the nutritional content really starts to reduce. So I think it's about 90 minutes from field to wow. freezer, as it were. And they're absolutely gigantic machines. And they sort of slowly sort of sweep. They're a bit like gigantic road sweepers almost, because obviously they're gently right. sweeping everything in because they don't want to damage the crop. The team that, you know, they work in teams 24 hours a day during the pea wow. harvest on 12-hour shifts to be able to bring the pea harvest in. So, again, it's kind of like, yes, to feed the nation, we need that kind of industrial type of agriculture or you know, farming on such a large scale to bring in the food. But equally, it's very rewarding to then grow your own and have your own supply. I would never say I was completely self-sufficient, but it is very nice to be able to go down and get down the garden and dig things up or pick things and bring them in, because you can't compare the flavor, can you? It's just it's another level.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, you mentioned peas there. I mean, they're just amazing, picked fresh, aren't they, from the plants. Nothing like it. But and sweet corn, I think you mentioned sweet corn before.
Yeah,
so I think strawberries, you know, if you grow some fruit, so yeah, nothing like it
really. No.
yeah so what do you love to grow at home, you know, just a bit of everything?
Pretty much, yeah. So I love tomatoes. But I'm really starting to get into the different varieties of tomatoes, the different colours and sizes and things. And again, the children really love that.
Fascinating.
Yeah, exactly. And also, because I am such a keen social media user, the different colours of the fruit really translate well on social media to sort of show other people what you're doing. Sweet corn, yes, is one of my favourites, because again, it is something that you can't buy in the supermarket or anywhere. The freshness is just out of this world, and it's something I look forward to every year. And I was a bit disappointed because last year my crop wasn't so good, but the year before it was very abundant. So I was very pleased. And then the other thing I grow quite a lot of is pumpkins and squashes. Sometimes for the children, mm-hmm. because again, they're really fascinated. You know, you plant these little tiny seedlings and, oh, they go absolutely bonkers, don't they? All these triffids just grow everywhere. And now there are so many different colours, forms, varieties. Some we eat, some we decorate. And we have a pumpkin festival in our village, so we make quite a large display out the front of the farm, where we put a lot of pumpkins on straw bales. Oh, and you make a big thing out of it. And then obviously, like the squash, mainly sort of crown prince, butternut squash, things that will keep, and make into a lot of soup. Or I like to make quite a lot of chips as well. Butternut squash chips are quite nice with a bit of rapeseed oil, sea salt, and sprinkle some chili flakes on as well. Ooh, which are quite tasty,
making me hungry.
So yeah, but I try and grow things that aren't too high maintenance, because I mean the weeds do overtake my garden quite a bit, because I just don't have the time to keep up with it all the time. And I try and suppress the weeds with cardboard or black plastic when I'm not using areas of the garden. But sometimes I just have to go, oh, well, you know, there's lots of weeds, but everything's surviving. And as long as it doesn't need too much water, I obviously go down every day and water the polytunnel, water the greenhouse. But the things that are outside, they have to kind of be quite self-sufficient because I haven't got so much time to care for everything all the time. But my dad always says, oh, come on, Millie, you need to look after that, do that. But in reality, you know, I'm spinning all the plates. And
of course it's
a challenge. But, you know, rainwater harvest, so I've got a lot of water storage, which again is great. And but it is just that kind of act of going down the garden and making sure that everything's okay and tending to it, which I do try, and I try really hard. But if it's too high maintenance, then I'm afraid it just, it might not survive.
No. We mentioned a little bit about schools, and I was wondering what sort of veg is best for schools in school gardens. We get a lot of requests based around that because you've got the holidays, haven't you? So it's got to be something fairly quick growing, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, the school that you work with, have they got a garden or is that?
Yeah, they do. So when the children were at preschool, I helped. It was only a very small area, but I used to grow a lot of cosmos flowers for them and new potatoes in a sack and a lot of herbs as well, sort of more of the sensory side of things for the children. But actually the primary school have just had a sensory garden built and I'm going to spend some time. Yeah, I've been given some seed potatoes and some of the seeds actually to be able to develop the garden over the springtime. And like you say, it is a bit of a hurry to try and get some produce available for them so that before they break up before the summer holidays, there are things. So it is things like some of the early new potatoes like Charlotte, or I've got Jazzy new potatoes this time. And they're just about ready. I mean, you perhaps don't get as many as if you left them a little bit longer. But some of the herbs and like the salad leaves as well germinate and, you know, grow pretty quickly. So they like doing growing things like that. And I've done some rainbow carrots with the children as well, just in small trucks and things. And again, they like sort of try pulling them out and guessing what colour they're going to get, which is quite nice. So. Yeah, there are opportunities, but it can be a bit of a challenge when, you know, everything's just getting, the garden's looking really well and things are really sort of coming on just as the children break up. So
it's a challenge, isn't it? Yeah, yeah. But do you get to sort of cook any? Well, I don't know about cook, but prepare. They get to eat some of it at school. Are there sort of lessons on pairing food and that sort of thing? That bit more difficult, I guess.
Yeah, the teachers would like to do that. I'm exploring with them different options at the moment. At the moment, I go in and talk at assemblies and things like that, and we sort of talk around it. But it would be nice. I mean, I remember when I was at primary school, my mum used to come in and we used to do more of the making cakes, and mum used to be really into her pottery. So we'd do things like that. And there obviously is a kitchen at school, but there's 100 children, so it's quite a challenge to kind of know what to do. But they come down to the farm when we're lambing, so they get to see the animals, and I'd like to do more of that. So it's just trying to make sure that, you know, we've got the facilities here to be able to host school visits and also have the resources afterwards, so that the teachers feel that they're supported, because there's so much pressure on the teachers to get certain things kind of ticked off the list. But, you know, I'm sort of coming in and sort of saying, I'll just do this, or I'll just take this off your hands. And I feel like, you know, I'm just sort of getting on with it, and I always say, I don't want to be on a committee. I don't want to be, you know, because I don't have time for a committee. But I will do these things because, again, the look of wonder when, you know, even though we live in a rural area here, the amount of children that don't have that exposure. And to me, that's really important because, again, it's those memories that then as they grow up, they will make more informed choices in terms of what they eat and then hopefully live a healthier lifestyle. So it has a lot of knock-on effects, really.
Oh, yeah, sort of, no pun intended, but you're sort of sowing the seed, aren't you? Because with my daughter, you know, she I didn't think she was paying any attention at all, you know, to her old dad telling her to, you know, help him with the seeds and things. But lo and behold, yeah, 10, 15, 20 years later, very keen gardener. So, yeah, even if they, you know, you don't appear to be making much progress, I think you really are, aren't you? With
yeah. children.
It stays there in their mind. Yeah. I was going to ask you what your plans are for the future, but I think we covered some of those things. Exciting projects coming up, haven't you?
Yeah, well, that's it. Well, a year ago, I registered No Fuss Meals for Busy Parents as a community interest company. So that, for me, I've spent a lot of time with the governance of that, getting that all set up, and now I'm able to look at grant applications and things to support some of my work and some of the learning. So it's really kind of developing that, and the kitchen workshop, the cookery school side of things. But it's also, you know, trying to make a living as well, because my moral compass is very much in the heart of the community. But equally, I've got to be able to support my own family as well. So ooh, it's kind of, you know, trying to balance all of that. It's a real juggle. And, you know, there's a lot of different things out there, a lot of people that you can collaborate with and work together on, but it's navigating, you know, the opportunities. And although I'm always a yes person, it's quite a challenge to kind of work out, well, how is that really going to help? You know, I've only got a certain amount of time. Where is my time best spent? And I actually use my garden as kind of like my happy place, my place that I go to, and have some quiet time on my own or with the children. But because I do so much filming and various other things, a lot of the time I'll be like planting seeds in the potting shed or what have you. And then I'll have the light bulb moment and go, oh, I need to film this. So there's not really a sacred space anymore, you know, because I'm such a creative person. But then sometimes I just think, oh, I'm not doing any filming today. I just want to, you know, shove on my overalls, shove on my wellies, not worry about what I'm doing, and just kind of that mindfulness of just pottering is something that I think all of us as gardeners really enjoy. And just then sitting down on a bench, having a cup of tea, and
must never forget to do that. That's something a lot of gardeners don't do often enough, is it? You think, well, you must just pull those weeds up, you know, but no, just sit down and have a cuppa.
Yeah. Well, that's it, because you sit there and then you see other jobs and think, oh, God, do that, or I need to do that. But it's also to look back and think, oh, you know, things are looking really well, or, oh, look, there's a blackbird nesting up there, or, oh, I've just seen my first brimstone butterfly, or whatever it is, you know, it's a real joy. And, you know, just to be thankful for those sorts of things that we can have as gardeners.
Yeah. Oh, amazing. And you mentioned your website, so No Fuss Meals for Busy Parents. There's some great recipes on there, I have to say. So it's well worth a visit, even if you just want to get some ideas about how to use your produce. So really recommend it. Have you got a cookery book as well? It mentions that you can...
Yeah, I did an e-book. It's one of those things that I do want to get printed at some point. I just haven't got around to doing it. Well, that's available on Amazon. And again, it's called No Fuss Meals for Busy Parents. And... I was very fortunate, actually. I've got it forwarded by HRH Princess Royal. So, you know, so that's she's on side as a fellow farmer herself. We have a shared interest in Gloucester Old Spot pigs. So that's our connection. And through my various charitable work, I've met her quite a few times over the years. So it was quite a nice to have her support was amazing. So, so it's £4.95, the ebook. And for every sale, £1 goes to Farming Community Network, which is a wonderful charity that helps with the sort of mental health side of the farming industry, because it's of course I'm an ambassador for that charity, and it's something that I support quite often, and actually in the past I've had support from them too, so it's something I wanted to give back to. But I am very, very keen to get my book published, but it's just having the time, the money, the resource, it's like everything else, isn't it?
It can only do so much.
Yeah, and most of the recipes are already available on my website, and there's a bit about seasonal ingredients. There's also a focus on Meet the Producer. There's
great
on there,
great
as
blogs.
Well.
Yeah.
So there's loads of stuff on there. So yeah, just go take a look. Always really interested to hear from people. Drop me a line, because often you do all these things and you don't know, you know, what difference you're making or if you've inspired someone. So it's just quite nice if people do email you and say, oh, I found this recipe and I cooked it and my family really enjoyed it, or oh, I never knew that, I often have this, or I never knew that we can grow sugar in this country, or oh, I never knew that the crop was out in the field and now I do. So you know, it's really good to hear from people. So, you know, try and drop me a line if you find any of my content of use.
Yeah, I'm sure people will. And you can find you on Instagram, on social media as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, Twitter, my handle's @Millie5. We've also got a YouTube channel as well, which I've started. Yeah. I'm everywhere. Steve, I'm everywhere. But you know, it's all good stuff, isn't it? I try and look after my audiences anyway, and I've built quite a nice community, especially with parents. To be honest, it's for everyone.
Yeah.
So,
that was great.
No matter what walk of life you are, I'm sure you can take something from it.
Absolutely. Yeah, I can recommend it. Thanks so much. Well, we're out of time, I think, really. Thank you so much for chatting to me. It's been fascinating, and I hope to talk to you again very soon.
Yeah, well, thank you so much for the opportunity, Steve. I'm a huge supporter of Kitchen Garden magazine, and I'm very grateful to you for giving me the opportunity to speak to you. Thank you.
Not at all. Thanks very much. Lovely to talk to you.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Save big money at Menards. Let the fresh air in and keep the bugs out with replacement screen for your doors and windows from AdForce. It's easy to install, durable against the elements, and comes in a variety of types to suit your needs. Repair your screens today with a roll of replacement screen on sale through May 5th. And check out more great deals happening now in our weekly flyer on Menards.com.
Save big money.